Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox here at CindySheehanSoapbox.com. And our guest today is Christina Tobin. She's the founder and chair of the Free and Equal Elections Foundation. She's chair of California's Stop Top 2 Committee. And she's a California Libertarian candidate for Secretary of State. Christina, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Oh, thanks for having me, Cindy.
Well, it's really good to have you on, and we've actually spent a pretty good amount of time together lately. Before we get into California Top 2 primary, why don't you tell my listeners about the event we just did in Wisconsin this past week?
Yeah, Cindy, I mean, we could both talk about it. It was a great event, a panel across the spectrum in UW-Madison, including myself, you, Teresa Amato, former campaign manager Ralph Nader, Angela Keene from antiwar.com, and Sean Scanlon with American Conservative. And I thought it was a really successful event, Cindy. I mean, we got a lot of press from the Wisconsin Journal to the local papers and whatnot, and we really stood up for the rights of really standing for the fact that the Tea Party movement is really kind of evolving into really not representing the people, and really bringing these groups across the spectrum that really that represent the status quo was a very important, powerful thing. I think the beginning of a movement that will spiral across the nation in the upcoming months and throughout the year.
Well, and of course, I was probably the farthest left on that panel. And
yeah.
there was but we all had one thing in common. We're all anti-war, and we're all anti-empire, and we all realize that this system is so broken, and it's going to take the people to fix it. And that's what you're trying to do here in California. Tell us about, there's a proposition on June's ballot. It's called Proposition 14. Tell my listeners about Proposition 14. And even if they're not in California, this is a trend that is going nationwide. So please tell my listeners about Proposition 14 and what top two primary, what a top two primary is.
I will. If anybody wants to see that awesome panel at UW-Madison, you can check it out on the website, freeandequal.org. Again, that's freeandequal.org. This all evolves into what we're doing at UW-Madison. A big factor of that was bringing up Top 2. Sean Scallon, yourself, Teresa, all of us spoke about it. And what Top 2 is here in California, otherwise known as Proposition 14, is the top two vote getters from the primary are the only candidates that advance to the general election. Literally, that means the candidates with the most wealth will be the ones that are only on the ballot for 6 months between the primary and general election. It cuts everybody out of the election process for 6 months. It's pretty much, it is Louisiana-style politics. Louisiana's had it for 30 years, from 78 to 2008, of which no incumbents were knocked off the ballot. They finally dropped it in 08. And five incumbents were knocked off the ballot. But more recently, out here in Washington State, they passed a top two primary. And for the first time since Washington's been a state since the late 1800s, that is, no third parties or independent candidates advanced the general election. Only one incumbent was knocked off the ballot because he ran an unethical race anyway. But aside from that, what top two would do if it passes, Cindy, it would put an end to every movement that we fight for. For the viewers that are on the soapbox today, to Angela Keaton of antiwar.com, to all the way to Ralph Nader, single payer, to Ron Paul, all the different movements that are outside of the two-party system will no longer exist. The status quo will have no representation. And to further reiterate what top two is, there has been a shift in California where the far left and the far right have become disenfranchised within their own party. And the moderates are now aligning with the Democrats, moderate Republicans, and becoming essentially even more of one party is what we will have, if that isn't already the case already. But it's a horrible thing, and if it does pass on June 8th, it's called Proposition 14. All of your listeners need to vote no on this, and they need to go to a website called Stop Top 2, that's stoptoptwo.org. For more details.
And And essentially what it is that it's, like you said, an open primary, and everybody from independents, libertarians, peace and freedom, green, Democrat, Republican, whatever other parties we have in California, American Independent, they all run in the primaries, and the two winners, vote getter number one and vote getter number two, advance to the general election. So, you know, we both know that probably almost 100% of the time, vote getter number one and vote getter number two will be a Democrat or a Republican, or, of course, could be an independent that has an unlimited source of funding. So it doesn't necessarily mean the person best qualified for the position, just the person that can raise or and or spend the most money.
Exactly. And to clarify, this is not an open primary. There are 21 states nationwide that do have open primary, which kind of like the blanket primary, California 98, 2000. It allowed one person from each party across the spectrum, six qualified here in California, to run their own primary and advance the general election. But the top two does, as you said, only allows the top two vote-getters. On top of that, what makes it so horrible, Cindy, is that the proponents behind Proposition 62, which was top two, which was voted down in 2004 in California, the people who actually wrote Prop 14 went out of their way to change it. Well, they made two changes. One, they will not allow write-in votes to be counted. No more. Mm-hmm. That's it if this passes. Number two, if Proposition 14 passes, the Peace and Freedom Party and Libertarian Party will no longer be qualified parties in California. Why? Well, Proposition 14, for registrations, they lowered it to 1/3 of 1%, which made it really easy for, of course, the current qualified parties to remain qualified, but also to allow others on the ballot. But the proponents for Prop 14 did not do that. So registration would have to be at least 100,000 for a political party to remain qualified. Peace and Freedom would be gone, no longer exists in California.
Wow, I know how hard it is. I know you do a lot of ballot access, and I know how hard it is to achieve ballot access. And even with the system we have today without Proposition 14, it's, to me, a very undemocratic system. So, Christina, Proposition 14, is that just for local and state races, or is that for federal races, too, like for Congress or for president?
Not for presidential. That is where it does not stand for. But taking in mind for local and legislative, yes, it is not for presidential. But if you have a candidate like Ralph Nader and Ron Paul and others outside of the two-party system, for the most part, run, if there's nobody at the grassroots, the local levels that are able to get on the ballot, like third parties and independents and disenfranchised R's and P's, there's going to be no movement. Everything that they're doing, Ralph Nader doing the single-payer movement, will no longer be in existence because the candidates that he wants to have run as independents in the upcoming and the future will not be in a position to win. Why? Because it's very unlikely that they would be the candidates that would have the deepest pockets to get past the primary. So we all know California sets the precedent. If this were to pass in California, unfortunately, it would spread across the nation, and that's why I'm here today, living in Mill Valley, California, focusing every day, doing my best to stop this horrible initiative, Prop 14.
And, again, we know that it's really extremely hard to get on a ballot anyway without this kind of, systemic cancer spreading from California across the country. So I know when Ralph Nader ran for president in 2008 as an independent, he actually came to California and won ballot access from the Peace and Freedom Party so he could get on the ballot. So then again, that kind of, that kind of positioning won't be available if Prop 14 passes.
Yeah, as Ralph Nader's former 2008 National Ballot Access Coordinator, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you really have to, for any propositions I'd recommend anybody see, 13, 14, 15, 16, it gets confusing. What's right? What's wrong? Who's telling the truth? Well, it's it's always good to get an idea of where these things stem from. Prop 14 here in California stemmed from a backroom budget deal by Arnold Schwarzenegger and Senator Maldonado last year, last February. No legislative hearings. Very horrible, 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. And Maldonado cut a deal with Schwarzenegger. It helps him out. He'll get more of the Latino vote because of it, and he will be more likely to get reelected. It's a selfish endeavor. And you're also going to hear the proponents of the people in favor of Top 2 are going to say, oh, it creates more moderate legislatures. No, the evidence, according to Public Policy Institute of California, political scientist Eric McGee, that is, says the evidence does not support the idea that Proposition 14 will result in more moderate legislatures. Instead, the evidence shows that the chief effect of that system is to make it even easier for incumbents to be reelected. So you can check that out in actually an article on March 14th in the San Francisco Chronicle by Eric McGee called Electoral Reforms Won't Fix California Gridlock. So it literally, it's a Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse is what it is. And if we don't stop it, all of our movements, Cindy, again, anti-war, medicinal marijuana to electoral reform to your soapbox, to it will cease to exist. It's that serious.
Well, and also we know that in politics, in any kind of politics, from propositions up until elections, that money is needed to help either defeat propositions or to pass them. So how much money does the Yes on 14 have, and what are you doing to raise money? Are you going to be able to show TV ads about No on 14?
Well, I'm going to do my best. Our money comes from great organizations. We just launched our committee this week, and we get our first donation from Californians for Electoral Reform, a prestigious, well-known, credible organization. Wherever we get our funding from, the more we get, we already have contacts with press that we would be contacting through the Bay Area News Group and down in Orange County and whatnot, from radio ads to advertisements. But right now, the best, we've gotten so much awareness through StopTop2.org. Again, that's StopTop2.org. So I've already interviewed with Associated Press, Richard Winger, who's a huge proponent against election law expert of Ballot Access News here in California, who's against Prop 14, will be on KQED May 10th from 9 to 10 a.m. So be sure to check that out again on KQED here in San Francisco. But a real important component, Cindy, is where is the money coming from for proponents that are in favor of Prop 14?
Right.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's got a huge chunk of money. I believe it's been over $500,000 from the California's Health Benefits Association. Well, if you check out an article that they wrote on a blog on November 16th from the CAHU, California's Health Benefit Specialist, they state specifically, Proposition 14, this change is terribly important to California's health benefit specialists because it will result in the election of more moderate anti-single-payer legislatures. Right there. It's upsetting. It obviously shows the intent of this bill is nothing but disastrous, and the people who created this should be ashamed of themselves. They do not represent people like you and I and your listeners today.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Politicians are rarely ashamed of themselves. But also, have you been in touch with the California Nurses Association? They're a pretty radical labor association. It seems like that this would be something that they would be against, since they're such huge proponents of single payer.
They are against Proposition 14. Again, you can see them listed and many other opponents at StopTop2.org, along with the California Nurse Association, the ACLU of Northern and Southern California. They're against it. All six qualified parties, can you believe it, the Green, Libertarian, American Independent, and so on, Republican, Democrat, all six of them here in California are against it. The reason the Democrats and Republicans are against it is because they, as being far left, far right, are being squeezed out. And the moderate movement, really, it's the brand Obama is what's happening here. I have to put it out there. Brand Obama, the moderate movement of Republicans coming together with Democrats. Can you imagine? I mean, they would be untouchable if this passed, and they would do everything that they wanted. They would not have to listen to the people, because essentially the party will become even more so one. Believe it or not, it could actually happen. So it's terrifying.
We're already in enough trouble without giving the power mongers more power, for sure. But I think I told you when we were together last week in Wisconsin that I was speaking to a leading member of California's Green Party, and she actually said she's a big proponent of proportional representation. And she told me that this Prop 14 is good because it will lead to proportional representation. And I didn't understand her argument, but can you dispute that?
I would say that her argument is so flawed that there's nothing to dispute. The current national chair of the Green Party, also former mayor of Santa Monica, Mike Feinstein, is very much against Prop 14. He's also spoken to the Santa Clara Chamber of Commerce out against Prop 14. The Green Party has taken a stance against Prop 14. Green Watch has taken a stance against Prop 14. So, unfortunately, what we have is a lady here that maybe it does not help proportional representation in any way. What needs to happen is this needs to, Proposition 14 needs to stop. And once we stop it on June 8th, vote no. I myself, with the Free and Equal Elections Foundation, am also running for California Secretary of State. I've been recruited by various parties and Richard Winger and leading activists to take a stance in favor of proportional representation. I am a true believer in it, and not only through the race for California Secretary of State, but also through my company, the Free and Equal Elections Foundation, and many others from Fair Vote to the New America Foundation, will be aligning together to implement true electoral reform, and Proposition 14 is not it. So feel free to put me in touch with her, but there's nothing to counter because that argument so it doesn't make sense at all.
Right. Well, I just wanted to give you a chance to tell my listeners that because we want to, bring up all the concerns and you know, concerns that people might have.
Definitely.
About Prop 14 or voting against it. So I was watching the Colbert Report last night, and I actually wasn't really watching it. I was doing some work, and I had it on. And, you know, I looked up, and there was a man I didn't recognize as his guest. And it was actually the lieutenant governor of California, Maldonado. And
right.
I wish I had been paying attention because I found out they actually were talking about Proposition 14, but I didn't listen to it till the end. So did you see that segment on the Colbert Report?
No, I sure did. You can get into a little more detail of Colbert Report. Actually, Colbert himself kind of mimicked that. He's like, so what you're saying is the people with the deepest pockets will be the ones that will win the primary and advance the general election in Maldonado. Because he asked him, is there any cap off on extending? And he asked him twice, and finally Maldonado said no, because I'm surprised he said it even the second time. But in any case, the people with the two deepest pockets are the ones that are going to advance the general election. He laughed, he pointed sarcastically, yeah, I'm for this. And he looked at the voter's screen, and he stated, so if you want the two richest candidates to be on the ballot the general election, you should vote for this. And it was really sarcastically, but here you go. A day later, Sacramento PD puts in their paper that Colbert, endorsed Proposition 14. Well, Sacramento Bee and the San Jose newspaper have failed to do their job right. They've falsely reported stating that Ms. Bach, a Green that ran in 2000, I'm sorry, I think 1998, was it, 2000, in California, stated that she won because of the open primary, because of top two. That's not the case. Blanket primary cannot be compared to top two. Blanket primary allowed her to advance within her own party, past the primary general election. So it was a flat-out lie. The Sacramento Bee knew this because I spoke in front of their board of coming out against Prop 14, showed them the evidence, and they still decided to publish this. And so you can see a lot of buddy-buddy relationships with Schwarzenegger, Maldonado, Sacramento Bee, specifically Dan Walters. But in any case, it's not right. They are falsely reporting, and fortunately the Associated Press is very aware of the situation and will be reporting the truth, from what I understand after speaking with them. So my job is to clear up that misconception, the lies that the media and the San Jose and the Sacramento Bee have led the readers to believe. It's not right.
Has my favorite newspaper in the Bay Area, the San Francisco Chronicle, come out with a position of...
Yes,
of
they've actually endorsed it. Unfortunately, they've endorsed it, and that is not good. But I will give a pat on the back to Wyatt Buchanan with the Sacramento Bureau, I think the Chronicle, that is. On March 11th, he put out an article, and in that article, he does acknowledge that both the Peace and Freedom Party and Libertarian Party would no longer be on the ballot. So kudos to Wyatt Buchanan. I met him out in Sacramento with the Sacramento Chronicle, but unfortunately it's these editors that make the decision. The Dan Walters of the Sacramento Bee have too much power over the actual editorial boards. And yeah, I know the editorial board, the Sacramento Bee, I know they did not want to vote in favor of it, but unfortunately, as we know, in 2004, you know, there's just so much that these politicians are so tainted with the media, and you've got these editorial boards that just have to keep their mouth shut, and unfortunately Sacramento Chronicle has come out in favor of it, and that was the wrong decision to make. And
deep is it the Sacramento Chronicle?
I meant to say the San Francisco Chronicle. My apologies.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all. What about Los Angeles Times, the one down south?
Los Angeles Times has actually owned the Chicago Tribune, coming new recently from Chicago last October, recruited out here to stop this, amongst many other things, implementing true electoral reform. But they are the worst of the worst. I don't think a paper can get any worse than the L.A. Times. You have the L.A. Chamber of Commerce. They came out in favor of it. Well, they didn't even listen to both sides. You have the California Chamber of Commerce. Wow, what a surprise. They came out in favor of it. Their buddy in pocket with Schwarzenegger and Maldonado. But in any case, you know, the Santa Clara Chamber of Commerce, they called me up, and they were kind enough to listen to my side come in to speak out against Prop 14, and they opposed it. Good for them. The Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce, good for them. First, they did come out in favor of Prop 14. They listened to both sides. They retracted their endorsement for Prop 14, and now they are opposed to it. So kudos to Santa Fe and Santa Clara for standing up as individuals and doing the right thing, and I do hope to see a lot more of the chambers do that in the foreseeable future, and a lot of papers think about retracting their false decisions, not good decisions, in endorsing this terrible measure.
You mean Santa Fe or Santa Ana?
Santa Fe was the one that initially came out in favor of Prop 14. Did I say the wrong one?
I don't think we have a Santa Fe in California.
Oh, well, I apologize if I said the wrong one. So I have a lot of...
Well, we might. I don't know. I could be wrong, too. But so tell
my listeners... I'm pretty sure there is one in Southern California. So.
Okay, tell my listeners how... they can get involved in this very important cause.
Well, the first and foremost thing to do is to go to the website stoptop2.org and print out the Stop Top 2 flyers. That would be the best thing you could do for the time being, and get involved on our email listener. Secondly, once we stop Proposition 14 with help, like from all of you that are listening today, getting in on the email list for freeandequal.org, that's freeandequal.org, would be very helpful because we do plan on implementing and reshifting our focus after the June 8th primary into implementing proportional representation nationwide. So those are a couple of things you can do today. If you're interested in seeing, on top of this, with my race for California Secretary of State, I'm running as a Libertarian. I am the former National Ballot Access Coordinator for Ralph Nader, and I've succeeded in gathering over 500,000 signatures and getting candidates across the spectrum on the ballot, and I also organized a presidential debate between Nader and Baldwin, amongst many other others, but that one from 2008. But in any case, these are the type of things we do, and if you go to freeandequal.org and sign up in our email list today, that will keep you on track with all the nationwide efforts that we're doing, particularly focusing on California right now, so our organization can continue to exist. And same with yours, Cindy.
And this is not a partisan, it's not a libertarian issue. It is an issue particularly for third parties and independents. But really, if you want to make our country more democratic and not less, then this is something that I urge my listeners to go to your website, donate some money, do some work, write editorials, write to these papers that have endorsed it. And it's Santa Fe Springs, California.
Thank you for that.
I grew up right next door. I'm very proud of my neighboring city of Santa Fe Springs, California. So, Christina, thank you for being on Cindy Sheehan's soapbox, and we'll keep our listeners apprised of what's going on with this very, very important cause.
And thank you, Cindy, for everything you've done. I want to stress that I'm an independent like yourself that that supports all parties across the political spectrum. And I look forward to uniting them through the endeavors throughout and here in California this upcoming year. So thank you, Cindy, for having me.
And thank you, Christina. Good luck. All of Christina's links will be posted on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Well, I hope you enjoy today's show. Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox will be going on a 2-month spring sabbatical. I'm busy working on the documentary about my trip to Venezuela and about the revolution down there. And I'm working on a new booklet that will be available via the Internet soon. The movie was called Todos Somos Americanos, We Are All American. But in working on it and researching it, we have changed the name to reflect our new vision, Revolution, A Love Story. We're planning on the movie's premiere in August 26th at the wonderful Grand Lake Theater in Oakland. Our friend Alan Michon is a progressive gem for the Bay Area, and as a matter of fact, he's the sponsor Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. In the meantime, I'll stay in touch, and there are dozens and dozens of old shows on the website to get acquainted with or reacquainted with. As always, I'd like to thank Scott, my engineer, Mikey, my producer, Rich, my webmaster, my guest Christina Tobin, and most of all, you for listening. I'm Cindy Sheehan, and you've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox at cindysheehansoapbox.com.
I must make my witness. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know. The air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.